And welcome to The Locker Room. We're having a chat today with Josh Beaver, who is one of our locals in the Olympics, and we're loving to talk with them. Good morning to you, Josh.
Good morning.
Now, just we do a bit of research, as you know, Mick and myself, and one of the bits of paper we looked at said you're from Tooradin. Someone else has said you're at Clive. I've heard you're at Tyabb. You're born in Dandenong. I mean, we're claiming you as a local, but they don't seem to be able to get right exactly where you do live.
Nah, definitely claim me as a local. I'm from Tooradin, so I grew up in Tooradin. Just recently moved out to Montella to be a little bit closer to training, but Tooradin will always be home to me.
Yep, absolutely fantastic. Now, you train, my understanding is you train at Nunna Wadding with Rowan Taylor?
That's correct, yeah. So I've been training with Rowan for the last just over 12 months. And, really enjoying it, really enjoying my swimming at the moment, which is number one key.
Now, we know you've overcome a fair bit to get yourself to Rio. Mick's just going to run through a couple of those things because the story sort of goes back to London, really, doesn't it?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and, in London, Josh, you missed out by 0.2 of a second on qualifying for the Olympic Games and then had your share of problems between London and Glasgow with, I think, a shoulder and a hernia problem, among other things?
Yeah, that's right, yeah. So only going into 2012 Olympic trials as an 18-year-old kid at the time, basically. I didn't really know what was on the line, didn't know the pressures involved, didn't know what was involved in becoming an Olympian, and subsequently missed the qualifying time by 0.2 of a second. And that sort of, was definitely a setback for me. But I was able to regroup myself after spending a little bit of time out of the pool, started to make a comeback in, and then unfortunately got injured, which obviously meant I had to spend a little bit more time out of the pool. Obviously, with the heartbreak of missing 2012 and the injuries, I did get to learn a fair bit. Learn a bit about myself, my body, and so on, and where I was at in terms of life space. And then sort of regrouped to qualify for the 2014 Commonwealth Games.
So was that the point at which Rowan Taylor was involved with you? And just wondering how he might have been able to assist you in that transition period there.
Yeah, so no, I was still out at Tiger Sharks Swimming Club under Ben Hiddleston at the time. And having just moved to Rowan in March 2015, I had my most successful performance at the Commonwealth Games under Ben, and it still today would be sort of the benchmark meet for myself, and ideally I'd like to replicate what happened at Glasgow. I went in ranked maybe fifth or sixth in the Commonwealth at the time, and every time I got in the water and swam, I basically did personal best time. So I ended up swimming 7 out of 8 personal best times and taking away 2 silvers and a bronze along the way, and definitely that was the stepping stone to 2015 and onwards. 2016.
Now, not everybody actually improves, do they, when you sort of hit your qualifying time and then get into the big event. So being able to do that at Glasgow was fantastic. What do you think, now that you've learned so much about how you're going and your body, etc., what do you think were some of the key reasons that you were able to do that?
Yeah, I think I can narrow it down to not having any expectations, so not going into Commonwealth Games not thinking that I'm going to win medals and them not actually happening. So I went in, as I said, about fifth or sixth in the Commonwealth and thought, I'm a realistic chance here, but obviously it'd take a fair bit. And I'd had a fantastic training block leading into the Commonwealth Games. I definitely think that the training block, in accommodating with having no expectations and being fitter and stronger than I was in 2012, definitely helped me achieve great results at the Commonwealth Games.
Has Rowan Taylor made you a better swimmer, Josh? More complete swimmer?
He has, definitely. He's provided me the full package, I consider it. And as he says on a regular basis, he's there to facilitate our dream, so facilitate my dream. And he does anything in his power to make sure that can happen in terms of the training environment, making sure I'm in the best headspace possible, making sure that I've got the support around me and so on like that. So definitely Rowan makes me... He's made me a better swimmer, but more importantly, a better person as well. And that's something that I really commend Rowan for.
You missed out on the 100 metres by 0.18, I think, outside the nominated cutoff time to get a spot in that event. Do you consider yourself more 100, or is the 200 your more favourite event? Because they talk about the 200 metres and they talk about getting to about the 150, and then I think the expression is the piano falls on you and you get very, very tired. Do you consider yourself more a sprinter or a distance backstroker?
I probably consider myself as a distance backstroker. I'm a small guy and definitely battle with over the 100 in terms of stroke efficiency and stuff like that. So over a 200, it's sort of, I can wind up a little bit more and get going, where those bigger guys seem to fall away over the last 50, where the last 50 for me is sort of my strong point. I almost consider it as a hummingbird versus an albatross.
I like that. Now, the training regime leading into Rio, because for a while there you're doing 55 kilometres a week in your training, does it start to vary as you get closer to the competition?
In terms of Olympics, no, we've been told from Swimming Australia and the team to not reinvent it, but perfect it. And I think that's a really good point to take into the Olympic Games. But we do need to keep the training up, the volume up. And in a number of days, I'm heading overseas to start my preparation and my paper process. But I definitely think that it's a really, really key idea to keep doing what you're doing. It's obviously works for you now, and it's worked to help me get to where I am today.
It's probably hard enough training on your own and trying to get your times down for to compete with people overseas, but it must be great having Mitch Larkin, the world champion, in the two Aussies going head-to-head, as it were, to try and make yourselves better athletes.
Yeah, definitely. Mitch has really come on in the last few years, and obviously being world champion back in 2015 over the 100 and 200 sort of gives Australia a good perspective heading into the backstroke. I credit in my training group, I was actually lucky enough to train with 2010 Commonwealth Games gold medalist Ash Delaney, and I was training alongside Ash for the last 12 months. I definitely think my biggest improvement came from racing him and learning from what he was doing, having been in my position before and being extremely experienced in swimming. I definitely commend Ash from what advice that he's handed down to me, but also what he's been able to do for Swimming Australia backstroke over a long period of time.
So just when does the team actually start to get together? Because you're all in different parts of Australia at the moment. When does the team come together and do its charge for Rio?
Yeah, so I'm heading off on the 13th of July, so next Wednesday, heading off to San Diego for a week, and then we all move into camp. So the entire Australian team move into Auburn University, Alabama. I think it's about the 21st of July, and then we all move into Rio camp on the 1st of August. So we're all very excited and really looking forward to the training camp process, but obviously moving into Rio together.
Who from your perspective would be the swimmers to watch from the Australian team? Who are the ones that you would say, look, they should go pretty well?
Yeah, well, obviously you had Kate Campbell just last week break a world record, so I'd definitely put Kate up there, but I also got to see that race, and I definitely think there's definite room for improvement. So Kate's in a fantastic position leading into the championships. Obviously, you've got Mitch Larkin, and then you've got both the Campbell sisters, the women's 200 freestyles looking very good with Emma McKeon and Bronte Barrett. Also think Tom Fraser-Holmes in the 400 individual medley would definitely stamp his mark on the international competition.
So, you've mentioned some really nice names there. When it gets to relay time and medley relays and that type of thing, do you see yourself getting a swim at some point?
I realise I've got a fair bit of work to do before I can put myself into eligibility, but I definitely count nothing out, and it definitely comes down to my 100 performance over in Rio, so I'll get to swim the 100 on the first couple of days. So day 2 and 3, and then the relays on the last day. So I really, really depend on how my performance is going and how well I've, if my time's competitive in an actual Australian team moving forward to a final.
And the opening ceremony, will you walk that, Josh?
Unfortunately not, no. So we, as a swimmers, put a self-imposed ban on ourselves for marching. I believe that we do all dress up and sit around a TV and do watch the opening ceremony back at home, but just the stress of being on our feet in an unknown environment. We could be extremely hot over there. as well. So we sort of decided not to march with swimming being on the first couple of days as well. I definitely think it's a wise option, but we can therefore save it for the closing ceremony. We'll get to march in the closing ceremony, which is going to be obviously pretty special.
And the 200 metres, I'm pretty sure it usually is towards the end of the program. What are your expectations in terms of that? Is it making a final? Is it a realistic chance for a medal for yourself? How do you see it?
Yeah, as I said before, I don't tend to put too many expectations on my performance. I think I'll go in ranked about 6th or 7th in the world, and obviously I'd like to come out in the top 5th, but as I said, I don't put any limit on how well I can perform and exceed expectations. So it'd be a matter of putting a really competitive time in the heat, then semi-finals, and then obviously bringing whatever I can to the final and putting my best foot forward in ultimately representing my country.
Josh, it's been great chatting with you. We've also talked with Alex Potts, who's a local boy who's in the archery, and a few others. So it'll be interesting when you get to see all these different sports as well once your part of the competition's over.
Yeah, definitely. I'm obviously very excited to head out to a few of the other sports and sports I've grown up watching, like the name it, so the archery, the weightlifting, whatever it may be. I've sort of sat back at home and watched those sports on the TV over the years, and obviously to be a part of it and going in there and being in Australia, we do get behind whoever's competing, and I've been told that the water polo is one to keep an eye out for, so I'm pretty excited to head over there to see that.
Absolutely. Josh, best of luck. We better let you get back onto the road and out to Nunawading for your training session today. I believe it's a 5-hour one.
The big one.
Yeah, so and good luck from next week on when you start heading overseas and ultimately in Rio.
Great. Thank you very much for having me.
Good luck, Josh.
Good on you, Josh.
Thank you.